forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, if we don't forgive other people, we break the bridge on which we must cross. You can't just receive God's forgiveness. You receive God's forgiveness so that you can forgive other people.
See, when you came in this morning, there was an invitation on your seat. That invitation is really for you to take and to give one of your coworkers, neighbors, friends, somebody that you are in class with, whatever is apropos. But just give it to them. Just give it to them and invite them. You never know what role you might play in someone's life. And so we made those for you. Jesus is risen, and so we're going to have a big celebration here all during Holy Week and want you to be a part of that. Today we have a really special treat for you. Our dear friends, Jay John and Killy John, are here. Yeah, so many of you already know them. Some of you say, wow, I don't know them yet. Well, you will after you get a chance to hear them. But you know, John has been a dear friend, not only of Nancy's and I, he and Killy, but they have been a real friend to our church. And now I think, I don't know if this is the sixth time or fifth time, but they've been here. They've done Easter morning here. They've done services here. We've done special event services. But John has invitations all over the world. And for him to come and be with us is really a real treat for us. We've had a couple of meals this week. We've prayed together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. They're just great, normal Christians. And you're going to love hearing from them. Come on, give a great round of applause to our friends, Jay John and Killy John. So great to have you guys here. Awesome.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Joe and Pastor Nancy. Do you know, as Christians, I mean, well, we travel quite extensively and we meet a lot of leaders. And as Christians, you know, you have to love everyone. But that doesn't mean you like them, does it? But we love these two and we like them. And they're just great. They're just great. And thank you to Matthew, Pastor Matthew, who hosts here these services. It's great to be here. Well, actually, since we last came, it's been our 40th anniversary.
We had our 40th wedding anniversary.
I know.
Yes. Thank you.
So that's
Thank
encouraging.
You.
So we've got the ruby, but we're going for gold. Yeah. We're going to mention just a few resources. There's never an appropriate time to mention resources, but we bring these resources with the hope that they will help you in your journey of faith. And also, maybe you can pass them on to others as well. Yeah. And Killy, some children's ones.
So there's some of the children's books, the Easter story. Can I just say how exciting all the different things going on here for Easter. It's going to be a fantastic time. But this is a little book to give to children all about the Easter story. There's another one on how can I pray, a great book introducing children to prayer and why we pray and how to pray. And another one, probably my personal favourite book. It's a children's book, but adults love it. That's a good question. A lot of questions that children ask, but we ask too, if we're really honest. So great one to give to children, but also to enjoy yourselves.
Absolutely. And this is one for adults. Will I be fat in heaven? Will I? but that's just one of 39 questions that cover all sorts of questions about life and why do bad things happen to good people and death and heaven and a book both for Christians and to give away to someone who's unchurched. Thanks, Killy. I'll mention the others in a minute. Great. Well, I want to focus this morning on four words. Four words. And the first word I want to focus on is the word admit. Can you repeat that? Admit. Great. Admit. Listen to what the Bible says. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it says this. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Killy and I, we have a friend who's very wealthy. He's not a Christian. He says he's not a Christian. He says he's an atheist. And I told him that God doesn't believe in atheists. And I said to him recently, have you got regrets? And he said, no, I have no regrets. So I said, so you're also a liar. I mean, have you ever met anyone who doesn't have any regrets? I mean, come on, of course we all have regrets. We all have regrets. We all have disappointments. We all know that we've done things that we wish we hadn't done. We all know that there are things maybe we should have done, but we never did do. I was walking around London in a place called Oxford Circus, and I saw this gigantic poster of a woman advertising lingerie. I mean, she looked like, you know, a Victoria's Secret model. And the poster was gigantic. Anyway, what somebody wrote across the poster in large letters the word sin, S-I-N. Somebody wrote underneath, what is sin? And I could see that loads of people had written definitions all over the poster. So I went to read them. So I went to read these. I mean, it must have looked a bit strange. You know, here I am, I'm looking at this woman and I'm reading, and it, you know, like this. And anyway, I read all the definitions that were put on the poster and I disagreed with them. I disagreed with every single one of them. So I got my pen out and I wrote this. Whoever knows what is right to do but fails to do it, for that person, it is sin. And then I signed it James, even though my name is John. And the reason I signed it James is because I didn't want to get the credit for it, because James in the Bible wrote that. Whoever knows what is right to do but fails to do it, for that person, it is sin. In other words, even by our own standards, we fail, let alone God's standards. It's really interesting, you know, when it comes to regrets or disappointments or what the Bible calls sin, you know, what do? Well, you know, some people deny it, like our friend. He denies it. He's had three marriages, you know. He's in the fourth. You know, do you mean, you know, he said, don't tell me you haven't had a few disappointments. Yeah? Yeah. So some people deny it. Some people deflect it. So what they do is they go, it's my parents' fault. Or it's the teachers. Or it's, you know, they want to deflect it to someone else because they don't want to take responsibility. Some people know that they feel this guilt in them. They feel it in them. And the only way that they survive or cope is they try and drown it. And some people try and drown their discomfort, guilt. Maybe they drown it with drink, or they try and drown it with music, or they try and drown it with drugs because they feel uncomfortable. Listen, if you're guilty, you cannot deny it. You cannot deflect it. You cannot drown it. If you want to get rid of it, you have to dissolve it in the blood of Jesus. That is the only thing that will cleanse us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from everything that isn't right. And that's what we need. We need a cleansing, a cleansing. And, you know, Easter week focuses on this. And listen, I would encourage you to put those dates in the diary now. You know, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. Block them out. Block them out. Anyone ask you in the future, are you free on those? No, I'm not. I'm not. And you can bring somebody on Thursday, and then you can bring somebody on Friday, and then you can bring somebody else on Sunday. But come for your own soul. Come for your own soul. And either come, I don't know what's going to happen, Pastor Matthew, but come and either get your feet washed or you wash someone else's feet. You know, come on Good Friday and hear what Jesus did for us so that we can be cleansed, we could be healed, we could be delivered. Admit. And the thing is, we need to receive God's forgiveness. We also need to forgive other people. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, if we don't forgive other people, we break the bridge on which we must cross. You can't just receive God's forgiveness. You receive God's forgiveness so that you can forgive other people. You know, it's so funny, you know, how even our language, I'll forgive you, but I'm going to keep my eye on you. Well, if you're going to forgive them, why have you got to keep your eye on them? You know, it's almost like our forgiveness seems to come with conditions. A very good friend of Killy's and mine, she's called Julie Sheldon, a beautiful, very elegant woman. She was the principal dancer for the Royal Ballet in London. And during rehearsals, her partner accidentally dropped her. And it fractured her spine. And it ended her career. That one moment ended her career. The fracture from the spine triggered off neurological problems in her brain, and she was diagnosed with something called dystonia, and she ended up in hospital all curled up like this, completely curled up, and they couldn't uncurl her, and she couldn't clean herself, she couldn't feed herself, but a pastor was asked to go and pray for her, and he went and prayed for her, and he anointed her with oil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The next day, she got up. She'd been in the bed for 2 years. And she got up. And everything uncurled, except her little finger. Everything uncurled except the little finger. And of course, she's quite an elegant woman. And it looked odd. Anyway, she goes back home. And She's got chickens, and she goes and feeds the chickens every morning. And she went to feed the chickens. While she's feeding the chickens, she just has this conviction from God that she's not forgiven the guy that dropped her. And she's like, I have. But she kneels on the floor with the chickens, and she says, Lord, I forgive him. It was an accident. And as she said that, her little finger opened. Wow. Unforgiveness can lock your little finger. Seriously. And unforgiveness can lock so much more that is invisible. We need to receive God's forgiveness. We need to forgive others. And we need to forgive ourselves. Forgive ourselves. Admit. Word one? Admit. Word two? Commit. Word two? Commit. Yes, commit. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, because of the impact it's had in my life, is Revelation 3:20. I love it, and I'm a very picture person. And it's got Jesus standing outside of a door of a house knocking. And the words say, if you hear the knock, open the door, let Jesus in. And on the 9th of February 1975, I opened the door and I let Jesus in. Do you know, sometimes when I say that, you know, the 9th of February, some people are kind of disappointed. Not about me, 9th of February, but they're disappointed because they go, oh, I wish I had a date. You know, I don't have a date. Listen, I cannot remember the day I was born, but I was, because there seems to be evidence to suggest it. So don't worry whether you have a date or don't have a date. Is there enough evidence to suggest it? You see, when you open the door and you let Jesus in, His Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And His Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And we need those, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you need patience?
Yes.
Of course, we all need patience. We all need these things in our lives. Admit. Commit. Third word, submit. First word?
Admit.
Second word?
Admit.
Third word?
Submit.
And we read in the Bible, in James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves to God. So what that means is you open the door, you let Jesus in, but you don't then open a cupboard and push him in there and lock him away. You know, some people are like, oh, I've got Jesus. Yeah, I've got Jesus. And it's as if they've got Jesus as a bit of an insurance for the future. No. When he comes in, you submit to him. And that basically means you come under his sovereign reign and rule. And the Bible says there's three do nots. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. So when he comes in, you say to him, I want you to go into every area of my life. And I want you to reign and rule over my life. And I want you to be sovereign over my entire life. A double-decker bus in London, side of the bus, big poster, egg and bacon, the great British breakfast. It went past the field. In the field, there was a chicken and a pig. The chicken turns to the pig and says, look. We're famous. Egg and bacon, the great British breakfast. Wherever the bus goes, they talk about us. The pig turned around to the chicken and said, it's all right for you, isn't it? You only have to make a contribution. But for me, it costs me my life. God's not interested in contributions. He doesn't want contributions. He really doesn't. That was really good, your talk, Pastor Matthew. I like that. I'm going to use it. The little sweets. He's not interested in our contributions. He wants our life. You know, in the time that he's given to us, he has given it to us. We're just guardians, stewards of the time he's given. The gifts we've got, he gave them to us. They're his gifts, the talents, the treasure we have. It's his treasure. We're just guardians. And so we're guardians of time, talents, treasure. And we say, Sovereign Lord, I submit to you. I submit to your will. I commit myself to you, the Good Shepherd. And I submit myself to you. Admit, commit, submit. Fourth word. Transmit. Fourth word? Okay, let's do all four words. Admit, commit, submit, transmit. Transmit. Let me read you a scripture. This is from Colossians 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Did you notice that one line? Make the most of every opportunity. every opportunity. There are two reasons today why people are not yet Christians. One, they've never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. In other words, you and I can either hinder or help someone in their journey of faith. Yeah? So make the most of every opportunity. Killy and I went to a supermarket and we bought milk and bread. And we went to pay and all the checkout desks, I mean, there was huge lines of people. And I think, oh no, I mean, we're only going to buy two things. Oh, and then I noticed there was a separate line, 10 or less items. I said, Killy, come here, come here. Great, 10 or less items. Come on, come on. So we went there, lined up. And I started counting what the guy in front of me had. He had 12. I thought, this is an injustice. This is an injustice. I've got to get the manager. It says 10 or less. He's got 12. This is not right. Wait a minute. That's an injustice. No, 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 no. Human trafficking's an injustice. Not because he's got two more items in his basket. You know, isn't it interesting? It's like, oh, I can't believe what sometimes we get preoccupied with. And then I'm like repenting. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then I'm thinking, we're not moving. We're not moving. And I'm like, why are we not moving? Oh, no, they've got some incompetent woman on the checkout. And then, oh, no, she's run out of the receipt thing. And then she doesn't know how to put it in the machine. So I'm like, I cannot believe it. All the other lines down there, they're all moving. They're all moving. We're stuck. Anyway, after about 2 minutes, I come to my senses. I come to my senses. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm really so sorry that I even think about this. And that, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. And I started to pray for the woman. I started to pray for her, that the Lord would help her. By the time I got there to the woman and I said, oh, I said, well done. You are doing so well. I said, you know, I wouldn't know how to put that thing in the machine. I said, really good what you're doing. And well done. Her eyes filled with tears. I mean, you know, maybe she doesn't even want to work there. Maybe her child is sick. Maybe her husband's left her. And I just spoke to her and I invited her to church. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. Last year, we were in San Diego and we got an Uber. And we got in the car and I said to the driver, I said, is there anything we can pray for you? I mean, you might think, oh boy, what, did you not have a pre-conversation? No, I didn't. No, no, no pre-conversation. What, did you not even ask him how long has he been an Uber driver? Nope, no, no, I didn't. Or you didn't like try and build a bridge? Nope, I didn't. No, no, sometimes I do, but I didn't feel it on this occasion. I said to him, is there something we can pray for? He said, yes. He says, can you pray for my mother, because my mother has got Alzheimer's. I said, yes, of course. So Killy and I, we start praying in the car, and he's driving. As we're praying, he goes, oh, oh, I need to find God. I need to go to church. I never mentioned God. I never mentioned church. All I said was, is there something we can pray for? Make the most of every opportunity. Anyway, we got to the place and it's time to leave. It's getting dark. it's actually getting dark. And our Uber app didn't work. It's like, oh no, the Uber app doesn't work. Oh no, well, how are we going to get an Uber? It's like, anyway, there was this lady just standing there. And I said, Killy, why don't you ask her if she knows why the Uber app doesn't work? So Killy goes to the lady. Do you know anything about Uber apps? Oh, she says, oh no. She goes, I don't know nothing about that sort of stuff. And she said, where are you staying? And Killy told her, oh, she says, I know that hotel. She says, I'll drive you. Who does that in America? It's getting dark. I'm like, oh. Do you know what I mean? Oh, what kind of a woman is this? She offers to take us. We get in her car. Killy sits in the front with her. I sit in the back. And she begins the journey. And I said to her, well, what's been going on in your life? She says, well, a couple of weeks ago, my son overdosed with drugs. I believe God stopped our Uber app from working. I'm convinced that God stopped the Uber app from working so that we could meet the woman, so that we could journey with her in the car. We got to the hotel. We said to her, please, can you wait? Ran upstairs, got a whole load of resources for her, got her across, prayed with her, and invited her to church. Make the most of every opportunity. You have a friend, you have a neighbor, you have a colleague, you've got a relative. Make the most of every opportunity. Invite them to come. Do you know, I was a student in London. I met a guy called Andy. He became a friend. He told me about Jesus. At my baptism, I said, my friend Andy built a bridge from him to me, and when he did, Christ Jesus walked over it. If he, the first person that told me about Jesus, I became a Christian. If he never told me about Jesus, what would I be doing now? Running a kebab house. I don't know, probably running a Greek restaurant. The first person that told me about Jesus, I become a Christian. Admit, commit, submit, transmit. Some of us today might need to admit. We need God's forgiveness. We need to forgive others. We need to forgive ourselves. Some of us today might need to make a fresh commitment to Jesus. Some of us today might need to make a fresh submission to Jesus. And some of us might need today to say, Lord, I've been admitting, committing, submitting, but I haven't been transmitting. But I need the power of your Spirit to do this. Empower me so that I can do this with others. Can I ask you all just to close your eyes, please? If the message this morning has touched you and you're feeling, do you know, it resonates with me, I need to admit that I need either God's forgiveness or I need to forgive myself or others. And some of you might need to recommit or resubmit. And some of you, hey, I do need to be empowered afresh by his Spirit to transmit. If any of you have echoed in your heart, yes, that's me, would you please stand up? Just stand up. Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. And all those of you standing up, we're going to pray a prayer in a minute. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then Killy's going to pray for you. Anybody else want to say yes? Stand now. Okay, can I ask the rest of you all please stand? Thank you. You know, when we first stand up, sometimes you can feel slightly isolated. But I love getting everybody to stand up at the end, because That's why we're part of the church. We never stand alone. And others are standing with us. You know, one of my, St. Augustine, he said this, you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. And so we stand with you and we say we're going to encourage you and we're going to help you. So those of you that first stood, I'm going to pray a prayer. I will pray it out loud so you know the words. The second time I pray it, pray the prayer out loud with me. The rest of you, church, why don't you join in and pray the prayer as a way of just reaffirming your own faith. Here's the prayer. Jesus, I bow before you now. Jesus, I bow before you now. I come just as I am. I come just as I am. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my life. Set me free from the past. Set me free from the past. I open the door of my life now. I open the door of my life now. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Come in by your Holy Spirit. I submit my life to you. I submit my life to you. Reign and rule over my life. Reign and rule over my life. Empower me by your Spirit. Empower me by your Spirit to transmit your good news to others. To transmit your good news to others. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters, for each one of them that stood. Lord, thank you that you know them by name. You know exactly why they stood. And Lord, I just thank you that you will be close to them. Lord, thank you that you will be protecting them, that you will be guiding them and leading them as they continue in their journey of faith. And Lord, I pray for those that who stood who perhaps have felt like they've not been a good witness or they've let you down in some way. Lord, we just take that off them and we thank you that you say today is a new day. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you will bring in this coming week to each one of us to share the good news and just to sow seed into people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we have sung to you and about you. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you are also the great physician. And we're asking you now to release your healing presence, your healing balm upon us and those we represent. For any disease, sickness, infection, we pray that it will flush out of our bodies and out of the bodies of those we represent. I just feel this either someone here now or someone online, I just sense you've had a recent operation and it's not healing. We pray that that wound would heal. Where there's been any kind of degeneration, we pray for regeneration, restoration. So we speak health and wholeness and well-being in body, mind, and spirit. And we pray during this pre-Easter Lent season that you will give us and those we've prayed for just now a tangible sign of your healing. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. just take your seats for a moment. I really hope you've enjoyed our contribution this morning. I really hope it's inspired you, encouraged you. I think sometimes, you know, the Lord reminds us of things we know we've forgotten. Sometimes he reinforces what we know, but he inks it in. And then sometimes he reveals something new to us. So I hope that that has happened for you today. You know, in sharing our faith, we need to be more intentional about it. And I've written this little book called Natural Evangelism. And if you want to kind of dig deeper into that, maybe that's something that will help you. And I don't know if you're reading during this Lent season before Easter, a book to help you in your own devotional walk discipleship. But if you aren't reading something, have a look at this book, Just 10. It's God's 10 Commandments. And that might stir you a bit, guide you, help you for the future. Again, Pastor Joe, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Matthew, thank you very much for having us. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Cannon and Kelly, for making an investment in us here today. We really do believe that lives will be impacted for all eternity because of this moment in time. We're very, very grateful. Let's all stand together, Trinity Church. I am so glad. We are so glad that you came to join us here today. Remember to take your worship guide with you for the pertinent information that's going to help you. One of the things you may notice in here is that we are on spring break, so small groups are not meeting, but we hope to see you back here next Sunday for Pastor Phil Pringle. And you have some homework. You have an assignment. If you receive one of these cards, will you believe with us that as you distribute them, give them away, they're going to go to the exact right people that need to hear the message, that need to come and join us for church? How about we do this? If you have one, just hold it up. Let's pray together that these cards will go to the right people and that they will make an impact and the people will come and respond. If you've got it, let's hold it up together. Father, we're asking for each one of these cards. Give us the boldness and the confidence to transmit this information to the people who need it most. And we pray you'd guide and direct them to the right hands so that they will bear much fruit. And we thank you for your help in advance. We want to be people that transmit the good news of Jesus. Help us to do that very thing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace as you go this week. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will see you next Sunday, everybody. God bless you.